Sunday nights, we've been in a series now and looking at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And there's going to be attributes that shine from our life because of our Heavenly Father living inside of us. And tonight I want to once again look at Galatians chapter number 5. Would you stand with me? Galatians chapter and number 5. Would you look with me at verse number 22? Galatians 5, look with me at verse number 22. Let's watch what the Word says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, faith, and meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This evening we want to look at this Spirit as we continue going just kind of word by word here. And tonight I would like to concentrate on the fruit of faithfulness. The fruit of faithfulness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I just want to pause and say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction that you brought in our life today. Father, no doubt it's a difficult message to get through, and we're talking about pride. Because, Father, so oftentimes it eats us up. It sneaks in, and we allow it to take root. And then we become something or think we're something that we're really not. Father, I'm thankful for a Savior that humbled Himself and took on the cross and defeated death for me and for all of us in this room tonight. Father, thank you for your example. Father, I just so often just want to pause on a Sunday night. Lord, when Sunday night services are not popular around the country anymore, Father, there is an auditorium full of folks that just want to learn about you. Father, we just want to fellowship around the Word tonight. Lord, I ask as we dive into really this study this evening that you'd hide me behind the cross. Help me to preach with boldness, but teach with compassion. Lord, as we face this subject of faithfulness, may it not be a subject that we think of those who are not here this evening, or we think of a person on the other side of the auditorium, or maybe a family member that, oh yeah, Lord, they need this. But no, Father, may we use the Word of God as a mirror to examine our own lives tonight. Father, I ask, Lord, once again, that you'd be right here in our midst. Father, where two or three are gathered in your name, you said there you'd be. And so, Father, we want you here this evening. Father, thank you for who you are. My Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we talk about the fruit of faithfulness, there seems to be a short supply of faithfulness in the world today. In the corporate world, men and women constantly looking for something that is bigger, something that is better. It's so oftentimes what we call climbing the corporate ladder. It's looking at something that's going to bring us more joy or more happiness. Oftentimes the workplace, there are those that do not stay very often. There's no longer faithfulness there. We think about the home today. In the 21st century, most marriages are ending in divorce because couples do not want to commit to each other. They don't want to be tied down to one person. And no longer do we find there is faithfulness in the home today. Faithfulness for richer, for poorer, and sickness and health. There's no longer that bond that brings us together. The local church in recent decades has often seen its fair share of those people who were once faithful to God's house now leaving. Leaving not because of reasons that we would call biblical reasons, but we no longer, a lot of times, see those who are no longer faithful to God's house because of faithfulness in something else. All of us in our lives, watch very carefully, are going to be faithful to something. We're faithful to school. We're faithful to sports. We may even be faithful to a job site, faithful to a hobby, faithful to the things that we like. And yet, in the 21st century, we often see where the faithfulness to the local church is not as strong or as, may I put, prominent maybe as it used to be. In the book of Galatians, we find this word faithfulness several times. The word faith is used in three different contexts. In chapter number one, it speaks about the faith in reference to the Christian gospel. In chapter number three, it talks about faith that you and I have as we put our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to save us. Then here in chapter number five, where it's listed to the fruit of the Spirit, it means faithfulness in doing our Christian or living the Christian life. It's faithfulness that comes from our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. In a sense, faith should produce faithfulness. The fact that I am rooted in Christ should enable you and I to bring forth the fruit of faithfulness. Why? Well, first of all, as we're going to see this evening, number one, there is an example in faithfulness. An example in faithfulness. You see, you and I have the example from God Himself. God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise." God is faithful during times of temptation. God is faithful during times of trials. God is faithful during times of difficult circumstances in our life. That's why you and I have often been encouraged by the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but as such is the common of man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." During times of distress, it is God who is faithful, who is there in our needs. It is God that is faithful during those times of temptation and trials. Understand this, when the whole world may not be faithful, it may seem in your life at times that maybe it's a spouse or a boss, perhaps it's a politician, or maybe it's someone who is dear to you, or you have an endearment to them. Those folks that maybe in times that are down that you go to them, maybe in a time of trial or a time of tribulation, a time that you really do need them, that person may not always be there. A doctor that you may call and doesn't pick up at the right time. Maybe even a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a deacon or a friend or a mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. We've all been in a circumstance before when we've reached out to someone and that person has not been there. But aren't you thankful that you and I serve a God that will always be there for you and for me? Aren't we thankful tonight that although there are those that may forsake us, our God will never forsake you and I? That He is faithful, that He is closer than a brother, that He has always been there and will always be there. It is our God that proves to us that yes, He is faithful. Even when you and I, watch very carefully, are not faithful to Him, He's always faithful to us. Do you know this past week that if not most of us, if not all of us, failed our Heavenly Father in one way or another? We failed Him. We sinned, or our thought life wasn't where it should be, or we had that pride that snuck into our life, or maybe we treated somebody with unkindness, or maybe we were not honest on a job site, or maybe we took some anger out on a kid or a grandkid, or we said something we shouldn't have said, or we thought something we should have not thought, or we posted something mean, or in excess of maybe just being angry. All of us this past week most likely failed our Abba Father in some way. But I am so thankful for a verse, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, check out the wording, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful in my life that I serve a God that is faithful to me, even though I am not faithful to Him. Therefore, when we talk about faithfulness just for a moment, think about this. May you and I never get to a point where we become discouraged because we have not done what we were supposed to do, or discouraged by, man, we hurt our Father, our Heavenly Father. Man, we sinned again and again and again and again. Friend, it's you and I that are going to constantly be battling the flesh, but we never get to a point where we just say, you know what? I have sinned so many times, I just give up. You and I never give up. A just man falleth seven times and getteth up again. You and I have no time to look backwards. No, you and I must look forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Are we going to fail him without a doubt? But you and I have the example in our Heavenly Father that he has never failed us. That means this, in a decision or something that you and I have asked our Father for, do you know this, that God has never made a mistake in giving us the answer, even if it's the answer that we did not want. God has never made a mistake. Isn't that wonderful news? Amen. Never made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Husbands, wives make mistakes. Moms, dads, teenagers, kids, all of us make mistakes. But do you know our Father is faithful in never making a mistake? Not one. Never. You see, God is faithful, but also God's Word is faithful. Because God is faithful, His Word also is. Cultures and people and circumstances will change, but we have an eternal word from heaven that never changes. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13 states, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Sometimes people lose faith when they don't get an instantaneous response from God. They want answers or a quick fix right away. They become disillusioned and question God's faithfulness because of the silence that he may give them at that moment. But remember that God's delays are not always God's denials. Although we may feel like you're in a waiting mode, God is still faithfully working in our life. That means this, you and I have a book. We have the Bible. If you hold in your hands this evening the Bible, that means this, what you hold in your hand is something that is perfect. It is inspired and it is preserved for you and I living today. God wrote this book. God preserved this book. This book is what you and I ought to faithfully stand on. Why? Because this book never has been, nor will it ever be wrong. If you believe that, say amen. When we get away from that, that's when we really start to stray. Well, I don't know. I think there's some little mistakes in there, and I think there were some errors, and I think, no, God didn't write something that's full of errors, my friend. When we start to question his word, you and I better be very careful, because if it's wrong in one area, what's going to make it right when it comes to our salvation? What's going to make it right when it comes to the sealing that we have of the Holy Spirit? What's going to make it right that we're going to see him face to face one day? If you're excited to see him face to face, say amen. Do you know where we get that? The Word of God. You see, if God is faithful, then God has given us his eternal Word. Therefore, as you and I approach the Word of God, let me give us just several practical things as you and I are looking for the faithfulness of God. Because oftentimes what takes place is we say, Pastor, okay, here I am. I got to make some big decisions in my life. And with these big decisions, I need God to work. So this morning I went to God in prayer. I didn't hear anything this afternoon, so I'm going to probably pray even this evening, maybe at the altar, maybe at my seat, and I need to hear from him. Or maybe you even say, I've been praying to God for a long time, and honestly, I'm just kind of giving up on the whole thing. I'm kind of approaching the Word of God, and it's just, I'm not getting anything from it because I'm not getting an answer. And so now, if we're not careful, what we begin to do is we'll begin to question the faithfulness of God. And friend, that's not a question that you and I ought to pose to him. Why? Because the Word of God says over and over and over again that God is going to be faithful to you and I. So you say, Pastor, then what do we do? Well, there's several ways that you and I ought to approach maybe trying to hear from God, and maybe we begin to wonder about his faithfulness. In God's perfect timing, he will grow you and I through his word, giving us the truths that we need, now watch very carefully, day by day. Now watch that, day by day. You see, Christian, living in the day and age we live, we really do live in a we want it now type of society. We need it. We want it. I'm just going to use this example, Kara, because we just went through it. But and you knew it was coming. I know you knew it was coming. But we left a little bit early for church tonight. She said, I was about to say pastor. She said, honey, can we run through Burger King and grab a Diet Coke? I said, yes. I need my aspartame kick. Amen. Now listen, don't judge me. Don't you judge me. I said, yeah, let's do it. We're going to, let's run through Burger King. So we ran through Burger King. We left early enough. We sat in line with no cars in front and no cars behind us for 10 minutes for a Diet Coke. You ever been there? Oh, man. It starts to get ugly. I mean, kids start doing any little thing. Kids, sit down. Stop. Where are they? Hello, hello, anybody there? I'll be with you. Can you say that again? Sounds like the machine's wearing a mask. You know what I mean? You can't understand them. I'm sitting there. And I'm telling you, I just began to get like nervous. You ever been there? You start to sweat a little bit. I mean, Pastor Chris and Pastor Dan, Pastor Blake could probably get things going, but let's just be honest. We're kind of waiting on the preacher. You know what I mean? Like somebody's got it. Maddie sings after that. Let's go. So I'm thinking, okay, we got to, let's go. Well, why was I impatient? It's the world we live in. We need it right now. You ever pulled something up on your phone? We're used to now 5G on our phones. We want to go to Google, and where's the closest, and what do we want? We want it right now. If that thing is spinning for at least 2.3 seconds, whoo, we want to throw it out the window. Come on, it's 2021. What are we waiting for? We want coffee? We got Keurig. We got it right now. Put the little pot in. It irks me that they don't have bigger water jugs because every time I go to get it, the water is out and I got to go over and I'm impatient. Fill the water, put it in, put it down, hit the button, wait for 30 seconds, boom, coffee just like that. It's what we live in. I can't wait. I told you several weeks ago. I'm very excited. I can't wait for my kids to be at the age where I just tell them, hey, kids, go get ready. And they come down and, you know, like 5 minutes later and they're ready for church and their shoes are on and they know how to match their socks and so on and so forth. Like, I just, instant teenagers, and some of you are saying, that's not how it works. Okay, but whatever. That's how it's going to work in my home, okay? I can't wait. It's just, we get in this mode. And so, honestly, what takes place is we carry that same mentality with God. And we think because we got in the Bible one day that, you know, God, I don't know if you noticed, but I didn't read for 7 minutes today. I read for 13. I think you ought to give me a little extra bonus here and let me know what's going on in my life. We want instantaneous answers right now. And sometimes God doesn't work like that. Whether we like it or not, I think God sometimes wants you and I to slow down, pause. Be still and know that I am who? Say it out loud. God. Stop. Shh. Quiet. Yeah, but I'm in a hurry. I got to get through this. I mean, I read my Bible yesterday, and I even caught up maybe even a little bit last week. But do you understand that if you and I are going to see the faithfulness of God, then we have to be faithful to dive into the Word of God each and every day. In the life that you and I live, look, it's a go, 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 do, 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 hurry. We gotta get the line of cars through, and it's school, and it's Monday morning, and hurry. And kids, go to your classes quick. And first hour, second hour, third hour, chapel, fourth hour, get out. Basketball practice, hurry, run home. Change, we got to get the dog out, then go here. We got volleyball practice, we got to get home. Oh, we're going to meet them for coffee. Oh, traffic on 36, this is ridiculous. Couldn't they prepare and put 6 lanes in here? And oh, we get back and it's, oh, put the kids to bed. Baths, showers, hurry, brush your teeth. News, go to bed. 7:30, start all over again. And sometimes God says, stop. Stop. Where am I in your day? Crosspoint, I've said it before, I'm just going to keep saying it over and over and over again. May we, God forbid, we ever make this place just a religious ceremony we're going through. I'm here to tell you, we can be guilty of that, Pastor Defoe. We can get, you know how easy it is as a pastor. Man, we can get there. Pastor Chris, walk up. Pastor Chris, walk down. Pastor Blake, walk up. Pastor Blake, walk down. Hurry, Maddie, sing your song. Get the Pastor, get in. Woo, 6:33, we're doing good. And we head out. And to be honest with you, we are just as guilty as the Catholics down the street are. of just going through the motions. God doesn't want us to be in robotic motions. He wants a relationship with us. And the moment that you and I pause and begin to question God's faithfulness and question God's word, we have to get into God's word, but we must get into it every single day. His word will be a faithful companion. Watch very carefully. Only if you and I allow it to be a faithful companion. You see, God will work in our life, and you and I can learn from it, but we have to learn, first of all, to depend on it. That means this, dads, I get it. We live busy lives. I get this, moms, or maybe single moms in here tonight. We live busy lives, but may we never get to a point where we're just, well, to be honest, we're treating the Word of God like we do brushing our teeth or getting dressed or turning on the news. It's just this kind of habit. It's not a bad habit, but it's something we habitually do in our life that absolutely means nothing. And maybe there's some positive things that come from it, but God doesn't want just to be lumped in with everything else in our life. No, He wants to be above that. He ought to take priority in our life. It's the example that He has given to you and I, the example of Himself and the example of His Word. But number two this evening, I want you to watch very carefully. We also see the exhortation to be faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Several years ago, it was about two decades ago, my family and I, before Carrie and I were married, were able to go to Yellowstone National Park. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it really is amazing. I hope that you have an opportunity to one day get there, because it's an amazing place, especially to visit with your family. The tour, this one big or main tourist attraction there in Yellowstone National Park, is this geyser that is named Old Faithful. All the 6th and 7th graders in here, you know what I'm talking about. It's Old Faithful. This geyser is named because of its predictability and because of its punctuality of always spraying up and being on time. At regular intervals, the geyser projects this scalding water anywhere from 20 to 75 feet in the air. But you know what's so amazing? If we really stop and we begin to think about this geyser that we all know so well, Old Faithful, is that Old Faithful has become this amazing hot tourist spot. But have you ever asked the question, why? Why do so many people go see it? It's because it shoots in the air. There's a ton of other geysers, and some of them that shoot even further. It's really not because of its breathtaking beauty. In fact, all around it, it kind of smells around it because of the hot water that's all around there, almost like a rotten egg smell and the sulfur that's there. It's really not because of its beauty, and it's not because of maybe even it's an amazing performance. You know why so many people go out and look at this geyser? It is known and it is praised for, watch very carefully, its dependability, its faithfulness. Similarly, God does not demand our talents and abilities or opportunities. He has one universal requirement for Christians. And what is that requirement? It's this: faithfulness. That a man be found faithful. Faithful, ladies and gentlemen, to our families. First, you and I must take our families as our first ministry and be faithful to them. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25 states, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Spirit-filled Christians will be faithful to their spouses. They will press onward and upward in their spiritual growth as a family. Now, watch very carefully. I can say that, and we could move on very easily, but on Sunday nights, it needs to be a little bit more practical. And so let's get down to the nitty-gritty just here for a moment. Understand this, in a family time, or being faithful to a family, is not always just, well, wonderful. It's not always just, every day is like living in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and it's just great, and it's candy, and it's gummy bears, and it's whipped cream, and it's just, well, awesome. To be honest with you, all of us at some point in time or another, and most of the times weekly, go through a day where it's a struggle in the family. Do you know that God requires faithfulness? Not just when the skies are blue and the temperature is 75 degrees and everything's great and wonderful. God also requires faithfulness through the difficult moments of life. And friend, may I put it this way tonight? Maybe our marriages are not struggling. Maybe it's not that we have a teenager that's going astray or defying the things of God. But let's be honest, there are moments through the week that maybe we struggle and there's some tension in the home. During those times, may you and I keep treading forward in our faithfulness to each other, in our kids and teenagers towards your parents, and parents towards each other, and moms and dads, and husbands and wives, and grandmas and grandpas, and even step-parents, and whatever your family circle is, may you and I continue to be faithful even during the mundane or the tough times. It was Christopher Columbus who wrote the phrase many times in his journal, for a whole day and oftentimes for a whole week. Here is what he would write: today, we sailed on. Next day, today, we sailed on. A week later, today we sailed on. Not every day is going to bring monumental victories, but you and I must keep sailing on. Why? Because God has been faithful to us. Therefore, you and I must be faithful to each other, faithful to our Savior. Is every day going to be rainbows and butterflies? No. There are those difficult moments of maybe your dog jumping over a fence into the mud, or maybe going to Burger King and waiting for 10 minutes and you think you're going to be late, or the traffic on the Rockville Road is just getting ridiculous, or maybe the neighbor did this and put the fence a little too close, or maybe it was a teenager, girls, that you called 12 times to get up and they didn't get up, and they made you just about, not late, but just about be late for school, to where it is 7:58 and the whole family now is running in. It started out the whole day. Oh, why do we have to keep doing this? Why? I told you 4 times to go. We're not ever going to do this again. And yet the next day, guess what? We sailed on. Husbands, you said I do. You got to sail on. Wives, you said I do. You got to sail on. Moms, dads, we've been given the kids that we've been given. You can't do anything about it. You got to sail on. Are there moments in life where it seems like it's going to break you? Sure. But you know what? Let's be faithful. Faithful in our families, but also faithful in our stewardship. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. He that is, now don't lose me here, faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust or true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Our faithfulness and stewardship is a reflection of our faithfulness in spiritual matters. I totally understand that God has been so good to Crosspoint, and I praise the Lord for the money that has come in, and we've said it over and over. We praise the Lord for those who have given towards our cameras that we have it, and we praise the Lord for Brother Schellenberg giving us the updates that he's been giving us over the last 3 months, and God has been so good. But you know what that shows us? That God's people, even through a pandemic, even through tough times, even through the Christmas season, even through an election year, continue to be faithful in their giving towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, I praise the Lord for that. Because it's you and I investing in eternity. It's you and I investing in what matters the most. It is an investment. It is faithfulness in our stewardship. It's faithfulness in our church attendance. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting. That means this, encouraging one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I totally get and I understand. I've said it so often and just going to keep saying it until COVID is totally behind us. I completely understand that there are those who cannot be here with us and they watch via live stream. But I am so thankful for all those of you who are watching, whatever camera you're on right now. I'm so thankful that you are being faithful and continue to be faithful. Continue to tune in. But for those of us who are here tonight, may you and I continue to be faithful to God's house. Brother Harvey, I'm going to pick on you here. Brother Harvey, are you here tonight? Is he not here? Oh, Brother Harvey, there you go. You probably knew it was coming too. Just like Carrie knew that Burger King story is coming, you probably knew this is coming too. Because you said it this morning. We're all joking around, but I just want to say, look, the live stream I praise the Lord for, and Brother Harvey was totally joking with me when he said this, but you know, the live stream is not meant for you and I when we get tired or lazy to sit at home and to tune into services. Okay, now look, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm not calling. If you're sitting home via live stream, nobody texts me and said, hey, Pastor, can you preach on this tonight? Because my daughter, my son is sitting at home eating nachos, tuning into March Madness. And blah, blah, blah. Nobody said that, okay? I just, Holy Spirit's leading, I'm just going to say it. And Brother Harvey kind of brought it up, so we'll just go with what he said. And you know I love you, just like I love Brother George, okay? But I'm saying, if we can be in church, we really ought to be in church. Now, we've got our elderly who are at home and can't be here. Several have said when they get their second dose or their shot by Johnson & Johnson, whatever the case might be, they'll be in church. I praise the Lord for that. I do not pick sides. I am not a doctor. I'm a preacher. And so I don't give health advice. You do what, use common sense, whatever you feel like doing, that you're going to have to do. But let me just say this. For those of us who are here, live stream ought not to be, you know what, I just, it's 5:30 and we watched our show too late. Or, oh, that nap, oh, it just felt so good. Let's just tune into live stream. There is something about being in this auditorium when the Bible's open that's different than what we get. I don't care how high definition it looks. You ask those who can't be here this evening. They miss it. It's just something about being in here. Wonderful words of life. Something about singing that song with everybody else tonight. It's like, man, what a beautiful song. That song this evening, I know we can watch Maddie sing too via live stream or Bethany this morning, but to be honest with you, sitting here tonight and hearing our young people sing, isn't there just something about it? And then we get out and we you know, some people have got ahead because of social distance and stuff. That's fine, but man, it is really amazing. Hang around for a little bit. I'm just telling you, if you can, hang around for a little bit. It will amaze you at how long people stand in here, and guess what they're doing? Just fellowshipping, talking about God, gossiping about the pastor. It's just good times, good times. I just get it. It's just, what is it? It's just, there's something about assembling ourselves together. Friend, you know, COVID really did start to separate the carnal from the spiritual. I'm not saying for anybody who's watching, please don't misunderstand that I'm saying anybody who stayed home because of COVID or because of a mask or not wearing a mask is carnal. What I'm saying is, across our nation, we've seen thousands flee church because it really didn't mean anything to them to begin with. And now that we can assemble together, it's just the lake is better and time off is better and the beach is better and vacation's better and sitting at home in our pajamas is better. To be honest with you, there are a couple Sundays, when COVID first hit, we were at home, we were in our pajamas, we were watching via live stream. It was good. I mean, it was fun, maybe for a week. But, you know, then we begin to miss the people. We begin to miss the hymns. We begin to miss the preaching of God's word. Those who can't be here with us, we're looking forward to the day when you're going to be back here with us. We can't wait to have you back. And just when you're ready, come back. We'll meet with you. And we even opened up tonight. We've got over here the overflow that if you're uncomfortable sitting, we'll sit you towards the back. We'll go out of our way to do whatever we need to do. But there's something about meeting together. Okay, let me just put it this way. Let's be faithful in our stewardship. You know, sometimes it could be easy just to skip, you know, well, it's 1 month. Do we really have to give 10%? It'd be easy to do that. I got a credit card bill coming back, and, you know, I've got to pay for this, I've got to pay for this. And be honest with you, look, friend, God's always faithful to us. He's not going to let us starve. May we continually give Him what is His when those doors are open. My prayer is that we never have to do what we did last March and ever shut the doors again. Sebastian, is that what you're saying? I'm just saying my prayer is that we never have to go through what we went through again. Let's pray that way. God's a big God. But now that we have the opportunity and the freedom to do so, may you and I be faithful. Now watch this. We'll be done this evening. Number three, we also see the examination of faithfulness. Number three, the examination of faithfulness. I want to read this verse, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I want you just to listen for just a moment. But watch the wording here. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Required means we must, we need to do it. That a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, watch, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, this evening, all of us can't be the judge of each other. All of us have different opportunities. And one day you and I are going to be judged according to our faithfulness as, watch, not each other's stewards, not each other's keepers, but as His stewards. Before you and I begin to get discouraged, remember that God has given us, each of us, different opportunities. Christians are not called to be successful. Christians are called to be faithful. In this success-oriented society, we must realize that there will be people with very few materialistic goods who will be at the front of the receiving lines when you and I get to heaven. In fact, Revelation puts it this way. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That means this. All of us are going to go through tough times. All of us are going to have to be faithful as God has given us to be good stewards in. Now watch very carefully. We talk about faithfulness, whether it's good or bad. Here is what oftentimes you and I run to. We begin to, Brother Brian, compare my faithfulness to your faithfulness. And we begin to say, well, Kerry, we've been, I know we haven't been totally faithful, but we've done better than Mr. and Mrs. Banks have done. I mean, they missed a couple weeks back then, and it got snow, and he shoveled snow, and his back was sore. And to be honest with you, I mean, those times and blah, blah, blah. And do we not do that? We compare. We begin to compare. Or we begin to say, well, I sure would love to be faithful in these areas, but you know, I don't have, Pastor Chris, the voice that maybe Maddie or Bethany had to sing today, you know. So I can't be faithful in singing because I don't have their voice. Or, you know, I love to play the piano, but, you know, I don't have the skills that maybe Kristen or somebody else has. So, you know, I would be faithful in that area, but I just, what are we doing? Jesus Church, what are we doing? I tell you what we're doing. We're comparing what God has given to us to everybody else. In my life, God has not given me the skill to play the piano. Maybe He has, but my parents, true story. You ready for this? We don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Story time with Pastor. You ready for this? I did take piano when I was 11 years old. I took for about 2 months, and I did not like it. None of my friends were doing it. They were all playing Super Nintendo back home, and I wanted to play NBA Jam. I did not want to be playing the piano, okay? So my parents came up and said, all right, son, we'll give you an option. They thought they were going to outthink me, and they said, son, you can either continue to play piano, or you can go out and you can mow yards in the neighborhood. And they knew I'm 10 or 11. Believe it or not, kids that age used to mow yards. And this is a true story, okay? And they knew I didn't like mowing a yard because I was a little scrawny kid trying to push that lawnmower. I said, you can either continue to take piano, woo, or you could go out and mow yards. I said without blinking, oh, I'll go mow yards for sure. And that's exactly what I did. I never took again. Let me tell you, my faithfulness is not dependent on me comparing my piano playing skills with Kristen. Guess what? She's going to win every single time. Or me saying, you know what? I wish I had the voice that Madeline had tonight. Boy, if I could just sing that soprano, if I could just hit those, that boy, I'm just telling you, I'd be faithful then. If I just had that voice, that would be me. To be honest with you, look, nobody's begging Pastor Shepherd to sing. You say, why? They've probably heard me sing before. My faithfulness to God is not dependent upon comparing my voice with somebody else's. God has given all of us jobs and families and husbands and wives and talent and time and treasure. And it's not for you and I, as Paul's saying, to compare or to judge. No, we serve the great judge who one day is going to bring into light everything that you and I have done for him. And when that day comes, it's not comparing, Brother Jim. Well, all right, Brother Jim, you go up there and stand next to Pastor. Okay, we're standing before the Lord. Who's going to outweigh the other? That's not the way it works. Maybe God gave him 10 talents and he gave me 5. How do we use it? Can I ask us tonight, church, how's our faithfulness? How's our faithfulness when it comes to God's word? How's our faithfulness when it comes to the difficult moments in life and trusting him? How's our faithfulness when it comes to, look, watch it very carefully. It's just us, Brother Eric. It's just us, Miss Amy. It's us as individuals. How are we stewarding the life that God has given to each and every one of us? Because if we live in this Instagram realm or Facebook realm where we're comparing, we're never going to be good enough. But you know, when God cried out, it is finished, he already paid it all for us. We are good enough. Because the love of God is not dependent upon what everybody else is doing, and let's see if we can beat them. Look, the Christian life doesn't work that way. The Shepherd family has been given the life that we've been given. It's a good life, and I praise the Lord for it. But you know, I could compare my life to others, or the house that we have to others, the cars that we drive to others, and we could become down, we could become discouraged. But to be honest with you, I just look at the life that God's given me. Excuse me, friend, you get in big trouble, and I get in big trouble, when we start looking at the grass that's supposedly greener on the other side. Well, their husband, well, their wife, you're heading for a shipwreck, my friend. Well, their kids, well, their talent, well, they were put on the schedule, well, they were. Why don't we just back off and say, you know what? God's given to me my life. Lord, I just want to, when I see you one day, hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.